the thing that I want to say about being an entrepreneur and in terms of niching is just sometimes when you have that resistance, that FOMO, I don't want to close myself off from an opportunity. Yeah. I don't want to leave people out. I think that's the other benefit of starting this process early is that the clearer you get and the clearer you are every time you come and review your values and your why and what you liked about something and what you didn't like, the FOMO just drifts away and it gets replaced by the joy of missing out on stuff that you know is not important to you because you're constantly checking in with what is.
Hello there, content creators. You're listening to the She's Got Content podcast, where it's all about creating content for your coaching business. I'm your host, Dr. Melissa Brown, and I'm here every week to help you get your content out of your head, out of your heart, and out there into the world, where that information and your services can impact the most people. Get ready to take notes today and then take action, content creators. Let's dive in with today's episode because you've got content to get out there. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of She's Got Content. Today, I am so excited to welcome the bubble wrap of college prep, my friend Mindy Trimble. Mindy mentors students on how to intentionally pop out from the application crowd without popping under pressure on the way to their best fit college. Besides increasing acceptance rates, Mindy's Acceptance Academy program has helped students win scholarship and financial aid offers ranging from 5 to 30 times what they invest in her guidance. Talk about return on investment. When not singing her students' praises, Mindy's flexing her Phi Beta Kappa from UC Berkeley skills at trivia nights, hiking with her family and her German Shiegel, or using her formal opera training. Wow, no wonder she sings her students' praises. She uses her formal opera training to make up silly versions of soprano arias. Welcome, Mindy.
Hi, I love it. I loved watching you read that and be like, I definitely sing their praises. Occasionally, I will sing at them, usually in person. It's fun.
Awesome. Mindy, tell me, how did you get into this college mentoring?
While I was going back to school to get my degree in opera performance, I started doing test prep. But I'm going to fast forward for a second because really the turning point, the moment of truth for me, was all about the overstretched waistband of a pair of pantyhose.
What?
So let me explain. I know, but this was it. This was it. Okay. So I was in an audition for LA Opera, and LA Opera is a big house, and I worked really hard in this aria. And during that whole time, like I said, I had gone back to school to get a second bachelor's degree in music and my graduate degree in music in opera performance specifically. And so while I was working on all my audition techniques and perfecting my vocal technique and all of that, I was also working with students mainly on standardized test preparation, but I had started to expand into college essay prep and college prep. And I was really enjoying that work. But I was starting to get out on the audition circuit and it was hard. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of rejection and a lot of things that you cannot prepare for and that are so beyond your control. And so I'm in this audition and I'd worked so hard and the elastic waistband on my pantyhose just gave up the ghost in mid aria. Okay. And I feel my pantyhose start to slide down my hips. Now, I make it through the song just fine. I'm sure I was terrified that these things were going to fall past the hem of my dress. And needless to say, I did not nail that audition. But it just made me realize that hustle and grind of the audition circuit was not making my heart sing anymore. What was making my heart sing was working with kids and seeing them take this whole college prep transition and turn it into a rite of passage where they're really reflecting on their why and their purpose and how they want to show up in the world. And so that was the turning point. And I've gone more and more headlong into my business ever since.
Wow. I've never heard such a story about a pair of pantyhose.
The best part is no pantyhose required, obviously, when we're working online.
The best part. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you didn't nail the audition, but you nailed a new career.
I did. Yes. And I just think of it as, hey, this is my new stage. This is where I get to use my voice in a different way and get creative and help students realize they can turn wherever they are into a place where they can take center stage and create their own story.
Well, so tell us, what's the lowdown on how you help your students really stand out in the application process? Because there's so many high school students that are applying now for so few positions. How do you get them to really stand out?
Similar to what we entrepreneurs do in our content, really trying to figure out how do we stand out? How do we make our content kind of pop out from the sea of samesy? I use similar approaches with my students. So obviously it helps with students since they are on a timeline. It helps if I meet them earlier on in the process. Even as early as middle school, we may not start working in middle school, but maybe the summer before 9th grade, 10th grade, that's really a great time to take this academic journey from a couple of different angles. So first, I work with them to establish a motif. And that is a musical term, but I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with. A motif is a repeated pattern, a musical pattern that might represent a particular character or a particular mood of the piece. It's a pattern that recurs. And I want to work with students early on to explore their academic interests and what they're passionate about so that we can establish a motif that we're going to really go for through their academic coursework, their extracurricular activities, and their intentional summer projects and experiences. So that's one way that I help students stand out. Another way is just helping them structure moments of reflection throughout the high school process. A lot of times, parents and students get so caught up in the grades and the everyday homework assignments that they think, oh, setting aside time to think about all this is a nice to have. It ends up getting shoved right towards the end of the whole high school experience. And that makes it a lot more difficult to churn out that personal statement. But by managing the schedule and building in kind of regular times for reflection and review of how they're feeling, what their values are, what they've done, what they've enjoyed, what they haven't enjoyed, it can turn the whole journey into something more intentional.
Do you encourage them to actually journal their thoughts and experiences so they've got that to pull in with their college essay?
Yeah, I do. The reason I like to start early is I like to build in writing exercises throughout the 3 to 4 years so that by the time we get to the personal statement, they have more experience doing personal writing, because frankly, a lot of students don't. And I love the college essay process. That's really what motivated me to expand my services into college list building and financial aid and scholarship advice, extracurricular planning, and that kind of thing. I do think it's important to flex that muscle earlier. And I do that through looking for scholarship opportunities that have essay requirements. That kind of motivates them a little bit more when there's money at stake to try this personal writing. And frankly, a lot of those scholarship essay prompts do require that they've done some thinking about what it is they want to do in their future. So it's all really great practice for the higher stakes stuff that's going to come at the end.
Okay, so you've got motifs and you've got structured moments of reflection, looking for those scholarship opportunities and then writing the application that goes along with that.
Exactly. So it's about establishing the motif, looking for ways to earn money, that it's also helping them develop their writer's voice. And then the management of those reflective moments. Absolutely.
Okay. Are there any other college essay writing tips that entrepreneurs could possibly use and be well served? I like this idea of the motifs, because it's so important to say things again and again as an entrepreneur, as a coach, content creator. So the motifs are great. And of course, journaling is great for everybody, I think.
Right. Yeah. Truly, I think that sometimes we can find ourselves, even I find myself in a rut with my weekly email or with my captions. And your listeners may or may not know this, but we met through Marisa Corcoran's Copy Confidence Society. And I really find that the exercise that she had us do about putting together your word closet, what are some things that you actually say in everyday conversations that make you who you are? I will do that with students. I pull from the way that they speak to me in a Zoom call. For example, I had this one student who came to me pretty late into the fall of her senior year. She was very stressed. And she said, gosh, I just don't know what else to write about except that I love coding. Okay. I love computer science. I love coding. I really want that to be in my essay. And I said, okay. She said, but there's other sides of me. I want to show more. And she kept saying, I really love debugging code. She kept saying debugging over and over in our session. And I said, how else do you debug in other areas of your life?
Oh,
what do you mean? I said, how do you solve problems? How else are your problems? So we turned it into debugging is my superpower was the theme of her personal statement. And she helps her dad debug problems around the house. They debug furniture construction or the garden. And she's also debugged her work process during COVID, right? When she had to come up with creative ways to approach her homework. And so I think really listening to my students and the language that they use and not just condemning that as, oh, it's not proper. It's not academic enough to be in a personal statement. The fact of the matter is that admissions readers want to see the real you, just like we all want to see real people showing up online. So I think really leaning into the way you speak and using it creatively in a way that feels, whatever that is for anybody, the right blend of professional and personal. And I think the other ways that, the other college essay tips that I really love for entrepreneurs are, and I'm gonna give her credit, but I love these images and I love color. So I have a colleague named Lynn Fairchild Hawks, who runs a business called Success Story. And she's a YA fiction novelist, and she works exclusively on the essay. She is a writer. She is an amazing writer, an amazing person. And I really like working with students and looking at their writing on these three levels. You have blue sky statements, blue kind of vague general sentences. So if you've got sentences in your copy or content that sounds like just any entrepreneur could cut and paste it onto right. the caption, then right. it's not personal enough. It doesn't have the opportunity to build enough connection. Now, you may take it a step further and you might start building in some green. You're adding more color in that you're offering some insights in your captions about your learned experience, but it's still not specific enough so that it really sounds like your lived experience. And then when you're really nailing it in your content, you're adding a lot of gold. So that's adding the specific stories. Just like I shared about my student, the debugging. She's a debugger and debugging is her superpower. That's right. Some gold that I just added to the conversation. And that's why case studies work so well, as anybody who knows Brittany Herzberg knows, she's the case study queen. It's true, because that's where we can really relate. Those human stories are what build that bridge of connection. And so I really work on infusing my students' essays with more gold and green and less blue. And that's what takes them from meh to really memorable, right? That's when we're pulling in the motifs and pulling in all the aspects of their lives that are going to stand out.
I love that. That's so cool how you can put that together for a college essay, because that is going to make that student stand out above all the others that are meh in the pile.
Exactly. And a lot of people think, oh, I just need an editor. I just need somebody to proofread this or grammar check it. No, because it's not just a rehashing of your resume. You don't want to talk about just one extracurricular. That's not what it's about. And for some students, it's not even about writing about a singular challenge that you've had to overcome in your life. A lot of the students that come to me, it's about showing range and variety and how you've demonstrated your character and values over your high school journey. Yeah.
It's just so amazing to me how this can be applied to our journey also right. online.
Exactly. You
know, these tips that you've given. I love the idea of really looking at the word closet and looking at those different words that we say all the time that we don't even think of, but they're like the girl who used the word debug.
That would be one of her motifs, right? If she were an entrepreneur, she'd be like, okay, debugging in the way that I debug in my personal and professional life. This is a content theme or motif that I want to return to periodically, and I can repurpose some content around this. And I think also the fact that it's the word debug, I think really leaning into as an entrepreneur, using uncommon language as much as possible, making uncommon connections. Debug, we immediately associate. The general stereotype is what? You immediately go where?
The computer.
But if all of a sudden, this post about debugging, she starts talking about her personal life, because it's caught us slightly off guard, we're like, oh, that was unexpected. But by the end of the post or the email, when it feels inevitable, when that connection feels inevitable, that's the most satisfying content to read. And that makes us feel like we're connected to that person because we've gone on that thought journey with them.
It's like a pattern interrupt. Yep. With that different definition of that word and then bringing it around to that word being so important in everything that she does, but it's really core to the fact that she loves coding.
Exactly. Yeah. I love how you just said that. It is almost like a core value. She values problem solving. She values helping others. And that word, it becomes more than what it is on the surface. That's great.
You've really highlighted why it's important for independent educational consultants, college prep mentors like yourself to be involved in the process.
Sure. I mean, absolutely.
I don't think this is something that's available to most high schools, public high schools for sure.
And I do think that high school counseling teams, they are definitely expanding in terms of what they're doing and what they're offering students and this kind of service. But the fact of the matter is that whether you're at a public or private school, high school counselors have enormous caseloads and they have to manage a lot of other administrative tasks beyond just worrying about one student's journey and development. And so that's why a college prep mentor can be so instrumental. On top of that, what's unique about hiring a college prep mentor, and you mentioned this when you were introducing me, two things. First of all, the earlier you start, you're actually breaking up the investment that you would make with someone like me. If you come to me in junior or senior year, it's going to cost what it would have cost to work with me for 3 years because I have to, in a really tight time frame, get to know your student and we can't turn back time. So yes. I've got to work with what I have to help the student craft a story that feels authentic and it stands out. Whereas if we have enough time to actually build a story together, that end piece, even though it is a lot of work writing the essays, it's going to be a lot easier. It takes a lot less time. And plus the added time allows more opportunity to repurpose content for scholarships. And so you have the opportunity to make back what you're investing with a college prep mentor multiple times over. And you'll have lots of money to spend on college, if not earning enough to graduate college debt-free. Like 30% of college students graduate debt-free. So yeah, 70% is a lot. I didn't graduate college debt-free, so I am part of the 70%. But really, it is part of my mission to help as many of my clients for whom that is a high priority. Let's get you to be part of that 30% or close to it.
So many important points there. I just this past year went through this with one of my granddaughters who actually lives with me. And during COVID, there really was not a whole lot of opportunities to do different extracurricular activities or community service or things like that. And if we had actually started the process earlier on, there could have been things that we put into that application. It all worked out well, but it was such an eye-opening experience. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't have thought. Oh, we'll wait until senior year to do this.
And that's one of the biggest misconceptions. I'm so glad you named that because when I was in high school, that's when college prep began. Okay, now let's start thinking about the standardized tests. And now let's start thinking, this was like junior, senior year. And it's just not that way anymore. There are so much more that technology has allowed us to put into our daily lives. And because we're managing that much more, because we're that much more distracted as a society. We are the most distracted age in human history.
Yes, thinking, AD.
Right? AD. And thinking about, oh, I've got time. It's yes and no. The longer that you wait, the harder it is to really retroactively put that intention in or make it look like, oh, this was the way, this was the way I planned it all along. And plus, there's also you're shortchanging the student on opportunities, just like with entrepreneurship, right? You want to have opportunities to network, to attend events, to learn about what aspects, as you're developing your message as an entrepreneur, you want to be exploring and feeling things out. And so students also need that time, whether they know it or not, to do informational interviews and job shadowing to help. For a lot of my students that come to me not knowing what they want to do, it helps them narrow down. At least I say, okay, let's not worry about what your purpose is yet. Let's focus on what it's not. So let's just do things with the idea that I just want, teens are great at that. I'll be like, oh, I'll tell you what I don't like about something all day long, but it's still information and it helps and it makes it a lot less scary. So I say, okay, here's all the stuff we don't like. Now what we're mad, then let's focus on what we do.
This point that you just brought up about starting early and narrowing down, this is just so easily applied to entrepreneurship, where if we don't niche down to blow up, and a lot of people avoid it and you spin wheels. Mm-hmm. And I think with these students, same thing. If they're narrowing down, if they're niching down what it is they want to focus on, it's going to make so much easier the application process, that story writing. And then especially when you're bringing in all your other magical pieces, like the motif and the stories and the colors, the the blue, green, and the gold, it will just make that application process so much better. And as you pointed out, the return on investment, I think I saw on social media where you had a student who recently has a full scholarship.
Six-figure. Yeah, that's right.
Multi-six-figure.
Yeah, over $310,000. And this is a student, she's rare in the sense that I started working with her in middle school, but she's a testament to the fact that when you start that early, you really, you really can go through college debt-free. And this is not a student who had high need at all. This student would not have qualified for financial aid. Mm. And so it's just amazing that that's what happened. And plus, it takes all the pressure off. It's not about adding pressure. The earlier you start, the more that you can treat the process as like a big exploratory game. It's an adventure. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out what you like and you don't like. And everything.
Experiment. It's an experiment.
And everything's fair game. When I talk to my students, when we do brainstorming, I want to know how they spend their time in all ways. So sometimes they'll say, oh, I don't have a lot. I'm boring. And we hear this in podcasts too. Oh, if you don't think you have stories, you do.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. We all do. And even my students are like, oh, I just play a lot of video games. But I'll drill down. I start asking questions. I just put on my investigator cap and I'm like, okay, tell me about it. I want to get into the details so that I can start looking for patterns in the type of thinker and learner I've got on my hands so that we can start to shape that motif.
The Inspector Clouseau hat.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Oh, love it. Yes. Is there anything more that we need to know about your framework for helping these students navigate iSchool and create that great application process for college?
Sure. So I'll just tell you, when I start earlier on with students, we spend a lot of time, I mentioned that exploratory aspect. So that's the digging. So we're digging into what lights them up, what their values are, what they're envisioning their lives to be. And we come back to that dig phase multiple times throughout the journey, but that's always where we start. And then I work with them to discover what's out there. So we're looking at college websites together to demystify that, discover the types of major programs that are out there, because my great love in this process is exposing students to major programs they've never heard of or that they never knew existed. The way they light up when they see a possibility that it already exists, that's already attractive to them, that they didn't know about, it changes everything about our working dynamic. And none of it feels forced. It doesn't always feel forced with my students, but I think that it really does. There's a shift and they come to it with a different motivation in a different energy. I also love the discovery phase. And then we go into designing and distilling. So it's this 4D method. So designing is when we just look at, say, okay, we've learned these things about ourselves. We've discovered a little bit. Now let's maybe build a baby college list. Just 3 to 5 that you're interested in now. You're in only 9th or 10th grade. This has room to grow and change. And then I say, let's distill. That's that narrowing down, right? Let's go get some real world experience. let's design a little resume and then go get some real world experience and maybe do a job shadowing opportunity here and an informational interview there. And I love those experiences because not many high school students do them. They are free or paid for. Some job shadowing experiences of my students have ended up being paid. And it really helps them get a good idea of what they like and don't like about something and allows them to make better, more informed decisions about 2 to 8 week experiences that they might want to apply for and engage in during the school year or during the summer to further investigate what they want to do.
I think that part, that job shadowing is mm-hmm. really cool. Yeah. I made something up in college where I went to the local county hospital. I grew up in the country. I went to the hospital and I asked if I could shadow in different departments before I got into medical school. They actually Amazing. Let me do that. And I was in college, but I wanted to go to medical school and they opened doors. I don't think that happens nowadays, but
I think there might be more structure, but essentially that's what I'm teaching yes. my students to do. Is essentially what you did is to show that initiative. People want to help young people. I think young people don't realize that their youth is an asset that goes away every day a little bit. Right? I don't put it like that so much, but really, adults want young people to be happy and have fulfilling, meaningful work. Most, I have not encountered any. None of my students have had a bad experience. So it's really fun to open these doors with them. And I think the final thing that I want to say about being an entrepreneur and in terms of niching is just sometimes when you have that resistance, that FOMO, I don't want to close myself off from an opportunity. Yes. I don't want to leave people out. I think that's the other benefit of starting this process early is that the clearer you get and the clearer you are every time you come and review your values and your why and what you liked about something and what you didn't like, the FOMO just drifts away and it gets replaced by the joy of missing out on stuff that you know is not important to you because you're constantly checking in with what is. And then also there's a part of me that I feel like as the students start to get clarity, and I've seen this in my own entrepreneurial life, as I've really honed in, because at first I was like, oh, do I want to help non-college bound students too? And I said, no, that's outside my comfort zone. When I made that decision, almost immediately, I found a great coach and colleague who does love to work with students who are not necessarily college bound. I'm like, great, now I get to refer all those clients there. So I'm not leaving anybody out. I'm expanding to blow up. Yes. You expand as you niche down and you attract more. So there's no fear of missing out. It's only going to get bigger.
Beautifully said. How can our listeners get into your world? I think you have something special for our listeners. Is that
I do. So this is not a public page. This is only for podcast listeners and it's mindytrimble.com/podcast. There's a bunch of goodies there and there is a special offer for listeners, but I would love for you to jump first on the bubble wrapped college planning timeline. So yes, that goes along with how you introduced me. So yeah. You can pop with fun possibilities, but without popping under pressure. So that's going to walk you through some kind of best practices and mm-hmm. tips for what to do in each stage of the high school journey from before ninth grade through 12th grade. And then that'll get you on my list and you'll hear about all my upcoming stuff. And if you're on Instagram, that's where I like to hang out. So drop me a message and I'll send you a voice memo. I love to send voice memos. Yeah, I look forward to hearing from you.
One thing that I did fail to ask you is, do you work with students across the United States? I'm assuming you're just working in the US.
Actually, I do work with international clients as well. I have 2 students that are in Brazil who want to come to American universities. I've worked with international students throughout my career.
Oh.
Yeah, I do mostly focus on United States colleges. I also have some experience helping students who are applying to other educational systems, for example, in the UK. So there's a different application process there that I have some familiarity with. But yes, I mostly work with undergraduate program bound students, but I also have a handful of students applying to business schools or applying to professional schools or law school. I have a law school student right now as well. So okay. Yeah, I like to mix it up.
Okay. I know our listeners are going to want to go over there to your website and check out what you have for us as She's Got Content podcast listeners. I thank you for that. Yeah. And tell us again your Instagram handle.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Mindy Trimble Mentoring. That's MindyTrimble Mentoring.
And your website
is mindytrimble.com. That's right.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Mindy. This has been such a pleasure to talk with you about what you do and how you tie that in so beautifully with all of our content creators and entrepreneurs here. I love it. Thank you so much.
It's so fun. I'm so glad we did this.
Yay. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in once again to the She's Got Content podcast. Remember, there's someone out there waiting to hear from you. They need your expert content. You've got that content in your head and in your heart. So let's get that content out there into the world. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you got at least one nugget to take action on this week. If you got value from today's episode, I would be so grateful when you leave a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. It only takes a second, and it really helps me get my message out to impact even more people so they can, in turn, keep the ripple going. If you're listening on Apple Podcast and leave a review of the show, it would really make my day, and you just might receive a shout-out on the show as my content creator of the week when I read out your review. And last but never least, if you want an endless supply of just right ideas for content you can write about for your blog post, your emails, your videos, podcast episodes, all the content things, then you want to head over to my website at shesgotcontent.com/content and pick up your free workbook, Never Run Out of Content Ideas. Look for that link in the show notes today, along with the other links mentioned in today's episode. Until next time, content creators, you've got an audience waiting to hear from you, and you've got content to share with them. Stop being the best kept secret and make a bigger impact when you've got content out there in the world.